I want you to know is that if you're bored with this, you need to tune in. Because it is, we're just going to scratch the surface today. And I want to give you some things that I pray the Lord will use. Now, what I want to do is I just want to, I'm not going to maybe even tell you anything you don't know, but I want to be like a lens that God puts over this so that God would use me to help all of us see a little more of what He has in this to teach us. That's all I want to do, is just be used by God to help us unfold this and see it so we can apply it to our lives, and the Holy Spirit is going to change us, all right? Read with me, Galatians chapter 5. Let's start with verse 22, and then we're going to be moving on after this. Oh, good. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. There is no law anywhere that would be against any of these things. Pray with me. Father, thank you for your word, that it is inspired, breathed out by you, and I know that it will not return void if we open up our hearts, just like the very first song that we sang, Lord, has opened the eyes of my heart. I pray, Lord, that we were all praying that it wasn't just a song that we sang, it was a prayer that we sang. And so do that now, Lord. Teach us, help us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated. I might say that I want to run for the door right now because this is tough. Because we're talking about self-control, and it is something that I think every person in here will struggle with. Or if you're human, are you truly human? You know? Yeah. So there's going to be areas that you struggle with this. And I struggle with it. So I don't want anybody to think that I think that I've got this down, because this is a work in progress. Hope I'm making progress in my process. I don't know, whatever I'm trying to say. But this is another, in case you're wondering, I think I've said this on every single one of them. This is another one that, where if you just look to our society that we live in to find this, you're still going to come up pretty much dry. I think I've said that about every one of them, whether it was love, joy, peace, patience, whether it was gentleness and kindness or meekness, like last week, goodness, all of these things that if you really look to what our society understands about it, you come up short. Now, all of them that we studied until last week when we were talking about meekness or gentleness, we find as characteristics of God, love, joy, peace, and long-suffering and all that, that God is that, God's the source. These last two, though, have been ones that, like I said, in the Bible, you don't find meekness applied to God because God doesn't have to be, He's God. But yet we found the perfect example of it was God when He became flesh. Jesus was the greatest example of power under control. Now we're rolling over something similar to that. We're talking about self-control today. I mean, this is another thing that the Lord's going to work in our life, wants to work in our life, how the Holy Spirit wants to do that. Hopefully we can unveil a little bit today. But it's closely related to that. But this is something that God doesn't have to have self-control because God's always in control. But He wants to help give it to us. So how's the Holy Spirit going to work that in our life? So you see what I'm saying? It's like love, joy, peace, and all those things are attributes of God. These last couple are things that you know, are a little bit different, but God wants to work them in our life. They're very vital and important. Now, how this is going to happen? Wow. Word here for self-control and is a word that means discipline. Now, some of the old translations have temperance right there. And temperance comes from, not the Greek, it actually comes from old Latin and French origins, and it pretty much means to regulate or moderate something. And that's good, but it doesn't really fit with our language today because, unfortunately, we kind of relegate temperance to just one area of self-control. So it's a little broader than that, so I think self-control is the best translation of the Greek word here. But a big part of what this is talking about here, a big part of self-control is discipline. A lot of talk about discipline today in our society. You know, we want to be disciplined, have discipline, you know, get in a workout routine, things like that. We talk about it a lot, but the truth is, you know as well as I do, especially in our Western culture, our American culture, we are immersed in quick gratification. We want what we want, and we want it now. We don't want to wait. Remember, we were talking about that. We're talking about long-suffering and patience, you know, and, you know, everything from the traffic in Springfield to, somebody said, getting behind the Amish at McDonald's in Seymour. Anything, you know, things like that, that just, you have to watch out, you know, because all of that. Anyway, wow. It's something that, you know, we're the microwave, drive-through, instant everything. In fact, they refer to it now as instant total gratification. I mean, we want to be satisfied. We want to be happy. We want what we want when we want it. And we've invented so many creature comforts that fit into that. We've become soft. Yeah. Because we have to hear, constantly have to hear from you older ones how tough it was when you were young. Yeah, get a witness on this, you know, about how you had to walk through the snow uphill right both ways. Isn't that what Cosby said? These kinds of things. And, man, it was, you know, tough times. I couldn't ask my dad for a quarter without having to hear about how they had to hoe that cotton and pick cotton and do all that, you know. I couldn't say anything about being a little cold without Dad telling me it. When I was a kid, you could see the chickens underneath the house between the cracks in the boards, you know, and we'd pile so many covers on us that you couldn't even turn over at night and didn't have indoor water. You had that water pail, you know, in there with the ladle in it. You wake up in the morning. Can I get a witness from anybody? You wake up in the morning and it's frozen in there. Oh, tough times, yeah. All this, you know. Didn't have hardly anything to eat, you know. Oh, yeah. I'd be talking about being hungry. You'd hear Dad tell a story about, and I know they were poor. My papa had tuberculosis. Mamaw's working a couple jobs and doing things to try to make ends meet. But, you know, Dad's a pretty good shot. And I'm not just, you know, bragging on my dad or anything, but I have been there when I was a kid and see him hold a light in one hand and that little nylon 22 in the other hand and shoot the toes on a coon to get him to jump out of the tree so you can see the dogs fight him. I'm not telling a joke. You're laughing. You're laughing because you don't believe it, or are you laughing because that's good times? Good times. Anybody ever done that? Oh, he's pretty good. Yeah, okay, Don, we got a witness right here. Yeah, that's right. Okay, well, the thing is, I'd have to hear these stories about, you know, he's a decent shot, you know, he maybe got lucky some there, but anyway, he had to become a good shot because they were so poor that Mamaw would give him one 22 bullet and go out, and if you can kill a squirrel, we'll have meat. We'll have squirrel and dumplings. See, one squirrel ain't enough to feed everybody, but you put dumplings with it, you can. That's where dumplings came from, right? Stretch the meal type thing. But so bad, tough times. So if you shot and missed, you're not going to get any meat. Tough times. I've been thinking back when our kids were young. Well, my dad had all these stories, and all you guys that grew up in the Depression had all these stories. I told my kids that when they got older, I figured out, you know, when they started complaining and things, I said, hey, when I was your age, we only had 3 channels on TV. And we had to get up to change the channel. None of this remote control stuff. Actually, my dad did have a remote control. Boys, go change that, you know, and thing. Go turn that up down, things like that. But, you know, those tough times. So, but the thing is even you older ones know that, you know, you're caught up in this thing too. You like the padded seats and the air conditioning, right? Uh-huh. Y'all getting soft on us here or something? Yeah, we are. We all are. So it's true. I mean, it's like we don't want to break a sweat. We don't want to shiver. It's actually good for our bodies to sweat. Did you know that? And try to cool yourself. And in the wintertime, it's good to shiver a little bit once in a while, kind of fire your metabolism up a little bit. But we don't want that. We want the temperature perfect all the time. We want everything to be comfortable. You know, our gel foam mattresses and our padded pews and seats. We don't want to be, if we have the slightest twinge of hunger, we rush to the fridge and we better have something in there, right? We've got all these choices and selections, restaurants and everything, so that none of us have to really eat anything that we don't want to eat. I complain about being hungry. I have to hear about, well, we just had to eat whatever we had. Beans and potatoes every day. If you're lucky, cornbread. I know you're tired of hearing all this too. I'm tired of talking about it. What I'm saying is that we want what we want, and we don't want to be inconvenienced. We want everything to just, we're soft. So I think even generations that knew a lot about discipline in some areas could relate it well to the spiritual life also. We can't even do that now. We don't know anything about, we don't have to wait for anything. You don't have to work hard to save up to buy something. I mean, couples get married now. Mom and dad have worked for 20-something, 30 years to build up what they've got. But we want it now. And with the credit cards and the loans, you can have it now. But you're going to pay an incredible amount of interest on it. Because we don't want to wait to work our way. We don't want to have to work into anything and enjoy it more. We want it now. We can have it now. We get it now. And that's where we are. We have a sniffle. I'll get into this. Or a pain. We want the doctor to see us now. Good luck on that one. Especially dentist. I'm sorry, Max. I'm sorry. Whoops, that slipped. No, but people come in. You can say amen on this. So people come in with the slightest problem or pain. They want it fixed right then, right now. I should be able to leave here and be cured or be pain-free. Or you should be able to prescribe something that's going to fix me. And if you tell me this is going to hurt, this is not going to be pleasant, and you're going to be miserable for a week, I won't want to hear that because we're soft, right? And so someone has said this, though. We don't really know much about discipline, okay? But someone said that the various powers that God has bestowed upon mankind are capable of abuse. The right use of those things demands the controlling power of the will under the operation of the Holy Spirit. That was a lot said, and I hope that you caught most of that. Amen. That was a very, very good thing to say there. All right, well, I've got to keep moving here. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28 says, "Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls." You got to be able to have some self-control, some temperance, some discipline. So how does the Holy Spirit produce this in our lives? This part of the fruit of the Spirit. He doesn't just, and here's the thing, it's not going to happen. He's not going to just zap you with it. And it's like, oh, hallelujah, I've got all this discipline and self-control now. It's wonderful. God just gave it to me. It's never going to work that way. God will give you strength, but he wants to start with this once you're saved. And he's going to start operating on your soul. See, your soul consists of mind, will, and emotions. It's really the part of us that's made in the image of God. We're not like the animals programmed with instinct. Animals can learn things. Animals can be trained. Animals can make decisions to a point. You can, but they still got that instinct. That's why you can train, have these highly trained circus animals, and sometimes the elephants will squash people. Sometimes the lions actually eat people or at least kill them, you know, because they're just, you know, that's what they do. Anyway. We're not like that. We're made in the image of God. We have mind, will, and emotion. And as the Holy Spirit begins, once we get saved, to operate on that, to change us into Christ likeness, this process is called sanctification, by the way, in the Bible. And what it involves is this, transformation. Once we're saved, it doesn't automatically happen all at once, but it begins to happen as he begins to transform and change your mind and your will, the way you think and the decisions that you make is what we're talking about here. That's what he begins to transform in your life. Vital to this is the truth. That is the Word of God. Even though we've got that fleshly, sinful nature that wants to do selfish things, and sinful things, because God gave you a will, you have the power to actually decide what you will do and will not do. You actually have the ability to decide what you will say and what you will not say, where you will go and where you will not go. We've all got the power to make those decisions. Now, how this works is God is continually transforming us through the Holy Spirit and his power. See, the Holy Spirit's going to impart this fruit using these various means. He's not just going to zap you with all kinds of discipline and self-control. He's going to use these means to help this grow in your life. Once again, he's the source, but he's going to use these tools if you want to develop this, him to develop this in your life. So it transforms your mind and your will. So here's the way this works. Now that the Holy Spirit is controlling your mind and your will. Your mind and your will control your emotions. Okay? Because our emotions can get way out of hand. They're a part of us, and they're tainted by the flesh. You know, it could be hatred, it could be jealousy, it could be wrath, it could be suspicion, it could be lust, whatever. See, the thing is you don't need to let your emotions control your mind and your will. Your mind and your will, under the power of the Holy Spirit, control your emotions. Just because you feel a certain way doesn't mean you have to act on that. Just because you feel angry doesn't mean you have to lash out. So forth and so on. So now what happens is your soul, your mind, your will, Holy Spirit's in control, transforming your mind, your will, controls your emotions. And now your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions control your body, controls your actions, what you do. What you do. Because see, the thing is that too many of us, our physical, fleshly self, our bodies, control our emotions. I'm just saying this is natural. I'm not saying you're dirty or nasty or wicked or something like that. Just because this is the way human beings are, because we're all sinners. That sinful nature's here. You wake up in the morning, you don't feel good. You don't feel good. You hurt. You sick at your stomach. Got a headache. Whatever. I don't know. You just don't feel good. More than likely, that's going to affect your emotions, is it not? You might find, like some of us, you have a higher probability of being cranky. All right? And when you're that way, things get on your nerves easily, do they not? And so forth and so on. So then, you know, you say, well, man, I'm tired. Man, I don't feel good. I don't think I'm going to get up. So it's like your emotion, your body tells your emotions you don't feel good. Your emotions tells your mind, let's just stay in bed all day. And your mind tells your will, let's just do that. So what's happening is the body is controlling the soul. But the way it's supposed to operate is the Holy Spirit controls the soul, which is the mind, the will, and the emotions. And then your will tells your body what to do, your actions. So the Holy Spirit empowers your soul controls your actions. This is how it turns around as we're talking about this part of the fruit of the Spirit, which has to do with self-control or temperance. So you know what? To be successful, you guys know about this, because to be successful, you know that there are times you have to do things you don't feel like doing. If you're going to have a job, there are going to be times that you've got to get up in the morning and you've got to go to work and you've got to do it and you don't feel like doing it. You're tired. You want to sleep in, but you got to get up and go. You make yourself do things you don't want to do. Even kids, this is true, because you don't really have a choice about whether you're going to go to school or not. You're going to have to get up and you're going to have to go. You're going to have to put in a certain amount of time, or you're going to be in trouble, or your parents are going to be in trouble. So there are certain things that we have learned and all of us have experienced in life that we do even though we don't feel like doing it. Likewise, there are things that you're not supposed to do that you don't have to do even though you do feel like doing it. Whether that be some area of lust, or whether it be punching somebody in the nose or something like that, just because you feel it doesn't mean you can actually make the decision to say, no, I'm not going to do that. Things you don't feel like doing that you should do, you can make the decision, yes, I will do that. How many times we get up and make it to work all week, but then on Sunday, we just don't feel like going to worship, and we forsake the assembling of ourselves together. There is at some point a decision of the will that you have discipline, you have self-control, and there's times you can't be here. I know that. But there are a lot of times that we could, but we let our body and our emotions control our soul. It's flip-flop. The Holy Spirit is not in control here. What's in control? The flesh. That means we're not walking in the Spirit. We're not being filled by the Spirit. We're not living the Spirit-led life. We are walking after the flesh when we do that. So this is how this works. When we come to this part of the fruit of the Spirit, temperance or self-control, this is how the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to produce this in your life. You've got to learn about how this discipline happens by letting me control, letting me empower your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions. Now, because of this, I just want to look at just a few ways that he'll do that. Let's look at a few ways the Holy Spirit does this. We'll get down to the nuts and bolts of this, okay? Like I said, we could preach a whole series on this. I'm just going to give you a little bit of it. One of the first ways that the Holy Spirit works to produce self-control in your life as part of the fruit of the Spirit that we're studying is he will help you make advanced decisions. Now, think about it. If you're taking notes, I'm not going to cover as many verses as we did like last week when we were talking about meekness and gentleness, but there's some things you might want to write down here just so you can meditate on them. Make advanced decisions. What I mean by that, listen to me. Discipline and self-control flow out of your commitment and surrender to God's authority. It flows out of your own, and that's a decision of your will, by the way. The Holy Spirit begins to draw us and convict us. See, this is how this works, because no one even can come to him. No one will even seek after him unless he's drawn. The Holy Spirit convicts us and draws us and convinces our mind that God's word is truth. And then he sparks our will by drawing us. He may stir our emotions, but there comes a point that God has given you, even though he's responsible sovereignly to draw us and to open the eyes of our minds, yet there is a part that he says is yours, that he is not going to force any of us. He's not going to force any of us to receive Christ as Lord at this point. That you have, God has sovereignly given you that right of whether you are going to bow, whether you are going to let him be the Lord and Savior of your life. You have a will. At some point, you make a decision. Your parents didn't make it for you. You can't make it for your kids. Every single one of us has to make that decision of our will in our soul that we're going to trust Christ for salvation and let God be God over our life. Now, I have to say this before I move on. There's coming a day. There's coming a day at the end where every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. But guess what? Those who have rejected him here will reject him there. There's no second chance that the Bible ever talks about. Even though some religions talk about it, the Bible never presents a second opportunity after death for someone to be saved. He says in Hebrews 9 that it's appointed unto people once to die, after that the judgment. And so the way the tree falls is the way it's going to be judged. We need to understand that. But the point is that those that have rejected him are going to confess that he's Lord. They're going to acknowledge that he's God, but they are going to be separated from him forever and ever and ever. To not have him as Lord means nothing but weeping and gnashing and teeth in outer darkness. And that's the kind of the little bit of the picture that the Bible gives us. So anyway, you make a decision then if you're going to trust him or not. You've got to surrender to God's authority. That's where discipline and self-control come in. It starts right there. As then you learn to walk by faith, trusting and surrendering to his will. That's what walking by faith is. It is I'm living every day believing, trusting, surrendering to his will instead of my own will. And the outflow of that will be the fact that I will want to walk in obedience to what his word says. Because I believe him. Because I trust him. Because I submit to his authority. There are going to be a lot of things now because of this point that you're not going to have to make decisions about. You want to know why? You're not going to have to make a decision about some of these things each day because the decision has already been made. See, there's a few big decisions that you can make that can save you from a lot of little decisions later on. You already know what you're going to do and not going to do because you know what God's truth says and you're submitted to him and you're walking in him. So when temptation comes up, whatever it may be, you know, I've decided, am I going to give into this? I mean, you already made that decision, didn't you? See, that's where you see Joseph in the Old Testament and all the trials and the struggles he went through. You know, when he was captured, you know, the coat of many colors and all that, and he's thrown in the pit, you know, by his brothers and sold into slavery. And he ended up as a slave in Potiphar's house, captain of, like, Pharaoh's bodyguard. And then Pharaoh's wife noted, well, there's something special about him for sure. And she started pursuing him, and this went on, and this went on, and this went on. And it'll be tough for a young guy. You know what I'm saying? Because he was a regular guy. I'm sure it was tough. But he didn't have to decide every day, well, maybe I could justify this and sleep with her or this or that. He didn't have to justify anything because he didn't have to decide every day whether he was going to give in to her or not, because he had already made a decision back there somewhere that he was going to walk according to God's word and he was going to live for God. He had already made the decision, so when the opportunity came up, he didn't have to decide what he was going to do. He had already decided he was going to do what God said, so the answer is already no. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to figure it out. I already know what I'm going to do. Are you following this? So what I'm saying is the Holy Spirit's helping us and assisting you in making advanced decisions so that you know what God's truth says. You've already decided you want to walk in it. So now you already know what you're going to do in a lot of situations. Now this applies to every area of life, but let me just mention a few. Here's just some main ones. This is going to be advanced decisions in your relationship with God. This is the most important. This is where it starts. You got to make advanced decisions that I am going to spend time in His Word. How can I have a relationship with Him if I never let Him speak to me? I mean, what kind of relationship would you have with your spouse if you never talked, if you never spent any time together? It wouldn't be much of a relationship. So God wants to speak to you through His Word, through His Holy Spirit, and He wants you to emphasize and prioritize time in prayer of speaking to Him. And so you're going to make that decision that you're going to spend time in that because this relationship with God is vital. And because you're walking in the Spirit, one of the things of discipline, He wants to discipline you to spend time in the Word, spend time in prayer. He also wants to discipline you to be committed to His church. Everybody that gets saved in the New Testament becomes part of the body of Christ, the church. But everybody that I see that gets saved connects themselves to a local body of believers because we're part of a body of a Christ. Body of Christ. And everyone, you know, parts of the body kind of need to stick together if they're going to accomplish the work that the head wants it to do. If you're part of the body, it makes no sense for you to be cut off somewhere because that means death. We need to be connected, right? We all have different gifts and callings and abilities. And so when we all bring it together, God's work gets done. We need to be part of the body. You've got to, listen, discipline in that. Discipline in your relationship with God involves discipline to not forsake the gathering of ourselves together. These things are vital. Discipline in making the decision ahead of time that I'm going to worship. I'm going to make worship a priority. Listen, we ought to be preparing in advance before we come here. If you haven't worshiped God all week, and if you come in here with a bad mindset, I'm just telling you, it doesn't matter how good the music is. It doesn't matter how well things are put together and thought out. You are going to have a tough time worshiping. I mean, you can know all the songs and the old songs by heart and like the harmony and like the sound, and you can enjoy singing them. But the question is, have you worshiped? The question isn't, have you done this or that? The question is, have you worshiped in your heart? You've got to prepare in advance for that. Holy Spirit wants to help you do that. So He wants to help you make advanced decisions in your relationship with God. You don't have to decide, what am I going to do today? Listen, unless the proverbial ox is in the ditch or something come up, we're going to meet with other believers and we're going to worship. Amen? You don't have to decide, are we going to or we're not going to? We already know we're going to. You don't have to ask. All right. And am I going to read my Bible today or not? Yes, I already made that decision. I'm going to do it. Okay, let's move on. Because I said every one of these is a sermon. I got to get going here. Woo! Help me out, everybody, by listening faster. He wants to help us in the physical realm of our life. All right, now put on your seatbelt because we got to go fast. Because this has to do with the way we live our physical life. That our body doesn't control our soul. Our soul controls our body. So the Holy Spirit is not only controlling my mind, my thoughts, my emotions, but also what I do, what I say, where I go, how I act. This has to do with even things like diet and exercise and health. I mean, there are some things you have to do to be healthy. You do need to have proper diet, which, by the way, I didn't last night at all. Whew. But I'm going to make up for it today. Isn't that what we say? We were at a ball game last night, and I didn't realize I had a couple of hot dogs and way too many jalapenos, let me tell you. But they're healthy, aren't they? Okay, we're okay today. We're okay, just in case you're wondering. We are okay. But proper diet, you got to have that. You can't just eat junk all the time and be healthy. You got to have exercise, right kind of exercise. But you know, there's another part of that, because even as I've tried to take care of myself and try to stick to proper diet and really exercise a lot, there's a third part of that, because you can do that really disciplined. But the other one is rest, because that's where your body rebuilds. If you don't have rest, the others aren't going to work. This is an area where sometimes we have problems So all these things work together. You got to have discipline. It has to do with our commitment, listen to this, to control our appetites. We have several appetites. Some are actually God-given, like hunger, a need for sleep. You know, rest is important, but it can be flip-flopped the other way, that God has certain ways that he tells us how you fulfill these appetites. If the appetite gets out of control and the appetite controls you, then you become a glutton and you can dig your grave with your teeth, right? Or you just want to sleep all the time and you become lazy and never amount to anything. We also have emotional appetites for acceptance and love. And listen, I'm just telling you the truth, even love and sex. God's given us perimeters of how these appetites should be fulfilled, and you begin to try to fulfill them outside of God's guidelines. Since he's the creator, the owner, the one that designed everything, he's the only one that knows, and he knows that if you try to fulfill those appetites in a way that's not from him, that the appetites themselves will destroy you. They will not satisfy. You will eat and eat and still be hungry. You'll sleep around and sleep around and still feel like you have unmet needs. You will sleep and be lazy. You'll never feel rested enough. On and on you can go. When we try to fulfill a legitimate need with illegitimate means, it leads to destruction. I like the way I just said that. I think I need to say it again. That when we try to meet legitimate needs by illegitimate means, it leads to destruction. It's like drinking salt water. You know, like first time at the ocean, the kids will say, oh, look at all the water. We'll never have to be thirsty. You don't drink that water. You can be stranded in a boat out on the ocean and there's water all around you and you will probably die of dehydration because drinking that water actually dries you out. The more of it you drink, the worse you're going to be. It's that way with these other things that we're talking about. Then not only the physical realm, you get the idea there, but let's quickly move on. Besides that, even in the financial realm, that you make advanced decisions before that you're gonna try to do things God's way. You know, you make advanced decisions that we're gonna try to have a budget and we're going to give to God, we're going to tithe, we're going to worship him in that way, that we're going to discipline ourselves that just everything we want we can't get. All right? So the Holy Spirit actually wants us to have discipline and self-control in all of these areas. And this is a big one that we need help with, all right? Another sermon. We'll come back to it. He wants us to make advanced decisions in this whole thing of self-control in our relationship with others. Boy, you're going to need this. You have to make advanced commitments to love because it's not always going to be easy to love. You're going to have to make advanced commitment that even though others are going to hurt your feelings, you're going to forgive them. You're going to have to make advance commitment, husbands and wives, that you're going to spend time together, that you're going to value each other, all these different things. You have to have discipline. If you just do what you want to do, you're going to have trouble in every single relationship. So what I'm saying is this whole fruit of the Spirit of self-control involves every area of our lives. How about, then this goes without saying, in your moral choices, lust, gossip. It's said by the experts that men struggle with self-control more with sex than anything else. You can say amen, that's okay. Women struggle more with gossip than anything else. That's just, you know, it's not across the board, it's just an average. I mean, it's not each person, I mean, it's kind of like across the board average. I said that backwards. And so we have different things we struggle with. But in our moral choices, even though we want to tell something that we shouldn't, or even though we want to look at pornography or whatever the thing may be, you're already making a disciplined choice, empowered by the Holy Spirit, that I'm making a decision ahead of time today as I start this day, I'm not going to do that. It's not that I can't help myself. I have a will. I can make choices. Amen. I can say yes, I can say no. But I'm weak. That's why I have God's Spirit leading me instead of my flesh leading me. If I let my flesh lead me, I will give in and I will be a failure. But when I have the Holy Spirit empowering me and God's truth instructing me and I say yes to that, I'm going to have a supernatural strength that results in self-control. Oh, we talk about it a lot. Man, it's another issue when we really get down to it. All right, we've got to go, man. Got to go. Another area, besides making the advanced decisions, so you have to make all these little decisions. Here's another thing the Holy Spirit's going to do is he works this part of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. It comes from this verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Paul tells us no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to all people. But God is faithful. Faithfulness is one of the fruits of the Spirit we studied, and we read part of this verse. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Here's what I'm saying is the Holy Spirit will do this because of what he says there. He will protect you from overwhelming temptations. God has said, I am not going to let the enemy. Don't say I can't control it. Don't say I cannot help myself. Because he says right here that he will not let Satan tempt you so much you can't stand it. Warren Wiersbe said that God always, when we're going through temptations and trials, he keeps his eye on the clock and his hand on the thermostat. He won't let it go on too long or get too hot. He'll always make sure there is a way. There is a way. Here's what he's telling us here. He's going to protect us from overwhelming temptation. Everyone's tempted. That's what he says here. It's such as is common to man, all people. You're going to think you're the only one that suffers like this. You're the only one that struggles like this. Satan will tell you that. But the fact is, other people deal with the same thing you do. You might think, well, boy, I sure like to be like them. They don't. No, they've got the same problems you do. You just don't know it. Other people struggle with these same things. He goes on in this verse, and he's teaching us that others have overcome. If other people can overcome, so can I. If there's victory offered and people have been victorious, I can be one of those people. All right? And the other thing, oh, back up. God will help. He's even going to make a way to escape. It seems like it's all closing in. No, it doesn't have to be this way. There is a way out. It may be like Joseph we were talking about in the Old Testament, where all you can do is cut and run and then may be falsely accused, but still, that God says, I will see to it there is a way out if you're walking with me. So that's another way that he helps us with self-control. It doesn't have to. You don't have to do this. You don't have to say that. You don't have to be involved in that. There is a way. If you're struggling, saying there's no way out, I'm trapped, the Bible's telling you you're not as trapped as Satan's telling you are. There is a way out. Will you trust God? And will you make the decision that you need to make? Now, the other thing that happens here is accountability. Amen. Accountability. In James chapter 5, verse 16, he says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. I like to focus on this part. But because he says the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. The effectual working is powerful of someone who has a righteousness and a faith. Okay? Well, anyway, the first part, confess your sins. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to come up here and tell everybody every bad thing you've done. Because somebody else's problem that they struggle with is probably gossip, and they're going to be tempted to go out and tell it. But why does he say confess your sins to one another? Because he knows we need that accountability. There needs to be one person, or maybe a couple people, that you know that are strong enough spiritually and that you trust enough that you could be accountable to with something deep that nobody else needs to know about that you struggle with. And I've had people say before, well, we ought to just be able to trust God. Yes, that's first. But the thing and the truth is that, you know, God's not physically present right here right now, even though he's everywhere. And, you know, God, he understands. He'll let me by. And I'll pray, God, forgive me. You know, you saw, you heard everything. But when I've got a buddy that's going to look me in the eyes, oops, sorry, box my jaws a little bit and say, hey, how'd you do on this today? I got a buddy that's going to say, hey, what are you looking at on the internet this week? Look at me in the eye and tell me. Now, did you just lie to me? Because if you did, you're going to have to do it again. Or you're going to have to come clean. When I've got a buddy, and I've got a band of brothers that I can, I'll tell you what, this is what makes all the difference in women, to have another woman that you can be accountable with, that you can, this is when the thing changes. This is when the Holy Spirit will use this as we do this to bring discipline and self-control in our lives like never before. It's part of being the body of Christ. Not only do we pray and ask God for strength, but we incorporate brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, in the family, that we come together, we hold each other accountable, and this takes it to a whole nother level. All right, I've already talked longer than I meant to talk, but I've got to wrap this up. Will you let me? Good. Accountability. Got it? All right. Last thing I want to talk about comes from this. Galatians 6:9, where he says, let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, keep this in mind, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. What's he saying? Don't quit. Don't stop. Stay at it. Be disciplined. Have some self-control. So here it is. He will teach you. One of the things the Holy Spirit will do is not only help you make advanced decisions, he's not only going to protect you from overwhelming temptations, he is also going to teach you the benefits and rewards of self-control, of letting him be in charge. The thing is that we've got to know that as this part of the fruit of the Spirit begins to flow into and through your life, there are tremendous rewards and blessings attached to it. Hard work and discipline have always preceded reward, right? Is that you got to work for something? You can't just eat the food. You got to plant it. You got to grow it. If you're going to, you know, all that. So hard work precedes the reward. Our problem is now we want the reward up front with no hard work. Listen, and listen, teenagers, life does not work that way. You can't get something for nothing. You got to put in your time. Hard work precedes the benefit. The athlete even knows that. If you're going to be able to win the state championship again, like Hartville's about to do, it's been a lot of work, amen, guys? A lot of discipline. A lot of things have gone into that. You just go do it because I want that trophy. A lot of hard work. It's got to precede it. You're not going to get the trophy up front. You got to work hard. It's that way in every area of life. And we learn that. We should learn that. You'll reap blessings in every area of life. You know, we talked about relationships. We talked about health. We talked about being controlled by your moods or not. We talked about finances. In all of these areas, you're going to reap blessing and benefit and reward when we live the Spirit-filled life, fruit of the Spirit, and self-control is coming through. It's going to bless in every area. All of life's going to be better. It didn't say it's going to be easy. It's harder yet easier. The undisciplined life may seem easier, but it's harder in the end, right? All right. Finish with this. And I hope I didn't talk so long that I'm losing you here because this is important. I got this from from Ed Young Jr., I think. I don't know. I wrote it down a good while back, taking notes, listening to somebody. I think it's where it came from. So this isn't original with me, but I liked it, so I'm going to share it with you. Self-control starter kit. How do I do this? Start with self. You know, I've got Matthew 7:3 there. You know what that is? That's where Jesus says to not be worried about the little speck in your brother's eye and trying to remove that when you've got a 2x4 sticking out of yours. Start with yourself. Some of us know how everybody else ought to be self-controlled and disciplined. Start with you, okay? All right, that's where you start. Start small, because that's where a lot of times we fail. We've got some of these big issues that we know we need more self-control over, and we try to jump in there, and we do seem like we put ourselves in a position where Satan can make us think we're overwhelmed, and we just forget it. Don't try to do it all one day. Let the Holy Spirit grow you and equip you and teach you and stretch you. You're not going to go out and run even a 6-minute mile the first day, the second day, you know? Maybe, but you're gonna have to find out what you can do. You're going to have to work into it. You understand? Start small in some little areas of life. You find some of those this week where I'm not letting the Holy Spirit control me, where I'm not being disciplined, where I'm not being Spirit-led, okay? And then I'm going to begin, whether I feel like it or not, to make the right choices and actually make myself do what I'm going to do. And I experience that. I relate that a lot of times with exercise, because even in exercise and working out, there are a lot of days, as some of you know, so try not to interrupt, but there's some days I like to, just during my lunchtime, I come in, but there's some days I'm hungry, I'm starving, and really what I want to do is I want to eat some junk food and I want to take a nap. Now, I'm not saying that there's never days that happens, okay, because there may be. But most of the time, it's what I feel like doing, but I'm not going to think about it. I don't need to even think about it. I just need to change and hit the road and do a little workout and then come back and then get back after it. Then I eat something. But you see what I'm saying? If I think about it too much, I won't do it. So you made the decision in advance, just do it. But sometimes you got to start small. There may be some small things. Find a few small things that you know God's wanting to change in your life this week. Small. It may be like, it isn't that hard to do. But you're going to be blessed by it. You're going to reap the reward. Then you're going to move on. See? And let's do that. So start. And here's the last thing. Start now. Don't put it off. See? That's a lack of discipline if you put it off. Start now. Start now. Start small. Start with yourself. The greatest example of all, I said this doesn't be something God has to have, but God did have, once again, when he became flesh. And Jesus illustrated this, once again, better than anybody. Do you think he's here fully human, feel every bit of pain that you and I feel, do you think it was easy to go to the cross? I'm telling you, when it comes to this, you say, yeah, but Lord God, you're perfect and all. You don't know how I struggle here in the flesh. Oh, yes, he does. He's been here. You think that was easy? Being beaten with the skin and muscle being torn, and being spit on, the crown of thorns, the cross. Let's get a verse. Let's end it on a verse. Because in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, the writer tells us, looking, keep your eyes on Jesus. He's talking a lot about discipline here, running a race. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the beginning and the end and everything in between. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured. There's not the same word, but one that means what we're talking about. He endured the cross. Despising the shame, that means all the shame and the horrible things they did to him, he counted as nothing. And is now set down to the right hand of the throne of God. Joy. Well, it wasn't a joy when he was going through it, was it? But the joy set before him. What was that joy? Of knowing that the price that he paid would save you. And that one day he would bring you into his presence. Knowing that he disciplined himself to endure the cross and the shame. Because of the joy. So I'm telling you, Jesus knows. And he set the greatest example. And he wants to work that in your life. But there's a catch here. You have a will. You have a will. And it all comes down, will I bow or not? Will I submit to his authority? Will I give in to him? Or have I got to do it my way? Let's pray. Father.